This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Let's get a preview of The Guardian this week, which you can hear Saturdays at 5 p.m. Eastern time on AMI Audio, and it features readings from The Guardian newspaper. Corinne Van Dusen is filling in for Don Dickinson today to tell us about a few of this week's articles. Hey, good morning, Corinne.
Good morning, Dave. Always nice to be here.
Always nice to join you as well. Of course, I should mention that Corinne is also the host of Late Edition, which you can hear weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern time on AMI Audio. So, Corinne, you've got a couple interesting articles to highlight here, and one deals with the decline of religion, particularly the number of church-going Americans is declining steadily. So, can you give us an overview of how many Americans belong to a house of worship?
Well, in the article, it says actually fewer than half of Americans belong to a house of worship. It's a survey done that they talk about by Gallup, and it found just 47% of the U.S. population are members of a church, mosque, or synagogue. And that's actually down from 70% 2 decades ago.
Wow. So when we start thinking about that time frame, how are millennials impacting those numbers?
Well, the decline is attributed to somewhat to changing generations, i.e. millennials. About 66% of people born before 1946 are still members, just 36% of millennials. There's a interesting interview with someone named David Campbell. He's a professor and chair at the University of Notre Dame's Political Science Department. And he says that many Americans, especially young people, are seeing religion bound more so to politics than anything else.
Yeah. So, Corinne, go a little deeper there. Talk about that theory, that thesis about how conservative politics has maybe turned people away from formal worship.
Well, I really like this quotation in there, and it says, since that is not their party or their politics, they don't want to identify as being religious. Young people especially are allergic to the perception that many, but not all, means, he says, American religions are hostile towards a certain communities, example, LGBTQ communities. The article also says it's a reaction to the mix of right-wing politics swirling with Christianity pursued by the Republican Party. And the evidence comes as Republicans in some states have pursued what the article calls extreme Christian nationalist policies, attempting to force their version of Christianity on an increasingly, it says, uninterested public.
Not to dive too deep down this rabbit hole, but we saw an example just in Alabama last week with the state Senate saying that we're not going to allow yoga in schools because it might be too connected to a religion that is not Christianity. So you can definitely see some examples of that manifesting all over the place. Corinne, an article that's maybe a little bit more on the fun side of things is something that you and I both identify with, and that's a love of animals. And the pandemic lockdowns have shown an importance of animals in households. And that means there's been some changes to pet ownership during the course of the pandemic. So let's talk about landlords here, because, of course, if your landlord doesn't allow a pet, you can't have a pet. So, Corinne, what percentage of landlords are allowing pets?
Now, again, this is the Guardian UK, so all of these come out of Britain.
Fair,
Just 7% of private landlords advertise pet-friendly properties, even though there is a substantial demand for them across Britain.
So what is the bigger landscape here in terms of these rental laws or rental restrictions and the legal side of it? How is that being addressed?
Well, it's thanks to a 5-year-old Weimaraner named Jasmine. Because a person wanted to take care of their parents' dog where they lived, and the landlord said, nope, no dogs, no pets, can't do it, can't even do short-term stay. So he went to his MP, who proposed Jasmine's Law, which is legislation that would place limits, not completely take it out of the landlord's hands, but limits on their ability to put a clause in the agreements that bars people who can prove that they are responsible owners. So it still gives a little leeway but it also opens it up to more people being able to have pets in rental properties.
My building has a weird rule where they say there can be no dogs over 25 pounds, but there's no scale in the building anywhere weighing the dogs. So it seems to be loosely enforced at best.
Yeah.
Corinne, much like myself, you enjoy a good pun. There's an organization featured in this article called the Advocates, and I am all about that pun. Tell us about the organization.
It's a nonprofit volunteer organization, and it helps tenants to convince their landlords to allow them to have pets. And the charity's founder says that she did this because she has firsthand knowledge, seen firsthand the heartbreak of an owner who's moving into a place and has to surrender their pet because they can't have it under the rental contract.
There's been a commercial running on TSN the last little while showing a dog running around a house. It's a Bell Mobility commercial a Bell Wi-Fi commercial for their Wi-Fi pods. And it shows the dog running from room to room, getting pets from his family. And he seems to be the happiest dog in the world. Corinne, you are a dog owner and a dog lover. How much is Oscar the dog loving stay-at-home orders?
It has been the best year of his life. Absolutely. And in this article, they talk about during the quarantine, having a pet as to cut down on loneliness or get outside of the house because, you know, I have to leave at least twice a day to walk Oscar. And that gets me out of the house. And if I didn't have him, you know, I'd just kind of be, I guess, sitting here and watching like cat videos.
Which also has its place in life, too. In my case, it's just watching that Bell commercial over and over again, watching this happy dog running around. Corinne, just before we let you go, we had Jason Frazier on. He's the CEO of Mind's Eye in the last segment. He's also a massive wrestling fan. We were talking about WrestleMania. I know you try to keep this under the hood a little bit sometimes, but you're a fan of wrestling yourself. What's your level of excitement for WrestleMania this weekend?
It's pretty exciting. I always think when I come on, you mentioned we should talk wrestling, I should wear my Bullet Club t-shirt, which is from the New Japan Wrestling. But I listened to the interview and Jason, and I laughed when he said they're not going to boo Roman Reigns. But I'm most excited. I'm just looking at my notes here about the Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan versus OVO, Orangeville's very own, The Edge, which is going to be a great one, as you mentioned before. Good Canadian boy, as they say. And I really like the Asuka, and who's Asuka?
Against Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, because I've loved Asuka since she's come into, from... was it NXT up to WWE? And also, there's going to be a live musical performance during Rhea Ripley's entrance. The person who sings her entrance song is going to be there. Her name is Ash Costello. She's lead singer of New Year's Day. Just a little info there.
Oh.
So it's going to be interesting to have the live version of that as someone walks in, because it's already, as you and Jason talked about, an exciting time. There are going to be fans there. How are they going to react to things? And I think that's really going to pump up the crowd as well.
A little music talk and a little wrestling talk from Corinne Van Duzen. And I love that. Yeah, I'm super pumped for the Asuka and Rhea Ripley match. Rhea Ripley last year had a match with Charlotte Flair, which was probably the best match of WrestleMania weekend last year. So again, like I said to Jason, the women, time in, time out, are stealing the show. And I'm super excited for that one on Sunday as well. Corinne, thank you so much for stepping in for Dawn today. We're so appreciative. All the best to you. Have a great edition of Late Edition today and enjoy the weekend of wrestling.
Thank you very much. You too.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.